Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Bill, what do you got for us today?
Hey, listen, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. You can see him or go up and see him at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Give him a call at 226-9226. They've got everything you could possibly want in the line of John Deere, Honda, steel. They got it all. Got a nice showroom up there. You can go in and get out of the heat. And
it's pivotal.
Yes, right now.
And you can get your generator before PG&E gets to your power.
So you keep your AC going.
They don't sell water, so...
No, but they do have ice cold water for your enjoyment. So
you have free water at Pape.
Free water, that's right. Yeah, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da. Fantastic. Well, it's been if you live out here in our area, we went from spring, you know, that nice part where it's kind of like moderately cool in the evening, blah, 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 to, yeah.
Our spring goes immediately
somehow
to summer.
Yeah, somehow we have...
overnight.
The rotation of the Earth, I think it was the full moon from last week, lunar eclipse, caused the rotation of the Earth to get us only 2 miles from the sun.
Yeah, we did. So, we rotated a little bit closer to the sun, and we're feeling it.
Just a little bit, 2 miles from the sun, just a little bit closer.
A little bit closer. I didn't know anywhere was 2 miles from the sun.
Said the woman whose husband was a scientist on an airplane. To me, real story. And you're trapped in your seat, and you make a crack like that, and the person says, I did not know there was anywhere that got that close to the sun.
It's like, oh, boy.
Do you say anything? I chose to say nothing, but I thought, God, when she gets home.
How about them bears?
After she told me all about how her husband was a scientist, I thought, when she gets home and tells him that, he'll be like, oh, God, you didn't give her name, did you? never a dull moment. Where there are people, there are fun. So if you're not having any fun, there's not enough people in your area. Let's see. So today we kind of jammed up Mr. Friedman last time because we got the update from Israel, which was a good jam up, but kind of fouled up the information delivery. So we thought, hey, we'll string that out because the vaccines and the virus and all that stuff. I know everybody's sick of hearing about it, but we're kind of at that point where some of the factual stuff needs to come out before everybody just goes to sleep with all that fiction in their head, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of it is they're circling around again. No, circling back.
Circling back. This is a circle back group.
They're going to circle back. They're starting to circle back and find that what they said in the very beginning, you know, it could be true.
Huh.
Just because Trump said it.
A year and 2 months ago. Yeah, so we should make sure that, you know, if indeed we ever try to roll with this type of thing again, everybody's radar goes off and, you know, we don't get sucked down the mask lockdown.
Hysteria.
Mask lockdown hysteria. Yeah, because after lions, tigers, and bears, you always have to have three.
Yeah.
Yeah, mask lockdowns hysteria.
Hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
Well played.
Yes.
So you're going to be Dorothy this time?
Negative. Because I have courage.
Oh, my gosh. So, Mr. Friedman, are you in there? I can't tell.
I am here.
He's okay, trying to pretend like he doesn't know us.
Our stick is up.
It was funny. It's like I thought, well, we'll hear him when he comes in, but I couldn't hear you. Oh, my gosh.
I'm here, you know. My older son has always instructed me in life to keep my head down and my mouth shut. So,
I think my parents might have said something about that, but they misfired 5 times.
And don't volunteer. I learned that one in the Navy.
Never volunteer.
God, I learned don't take your kid to sign up for any sport. Like, don't actually go there. Get him a ride with somebody else's parents. Every time I ever took my kids to sign up, I ran the team.
Yeah, well.
Or the Girl Scout troop or the CCD class or.
Yep.
When I left Eureka, they probably had to close it. I don't know who ran everything after I moved away. So you have kind of been there and done that. You're like the guy that used to be on the Dos Equis commercial. You know, the more we talk to you, you're like, he is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay thirsty, my friend.
Oh, I am. I've got it in front of me.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Don't be a hater, Bill. So you've done all sorts of stuff. But instead of me giving your bio, why don't you do it? Because I'd like to see what you think are the most important things about what you've done. Because you've done a lot of really interesting stuff. All kidding aside, we can call you for almost any topic, and you go, "Oh yeah, I used to do that."
Well, you know, I do the research, and in my life, I've done things that interest me. And if they're not interesting, I don't waste time on it. So, you know, one of the things that I love to do is research. Because I do a lot of lecturing and stuff. And then when you do that and you're in front of an audience of 300 people, you got to make sure that your ducks in a row, because otherwise, you know, it gets to Q&A afterwards and people are going to ask you questions, and you better come up with the answers and where you got the information.
Absolutely.
Kind of like this whole, it's like this COVID thing. I mean, there is so much nonsense out there, and I don't understand even today why supposedly responsible journalists are not doing some of the basic research on all of this that I, as a non-journalist, non-medical person, you know, myself, have gone out and done. And I keep finding all this information, and then I watch, you know, these people on TV, and I find myself half the time, you know, throwing my shoe at the TV. Like, that's ridiculous. Why are you saying something like this? I can show you precisely where the information is completely different than what you're telling people. So you have to, it's like the interview with Peter McCullough by Tucker Carlson, and he basically has stated the same thing, saying, you know, there's got to be something else going on here. So if you want to dive right into this, I'm ready.
All right. Not to belabor your credentials, but I was retelling the story about the FBI guy that dropped his gun in the toilet with a group of coworkers this week. Somehow that worked its way into a conversation. I was like, oh, I'm going to talk to that guy this weekend. People ought to really head to the website and look down the page. Today is May 30th. And if they scroll down the page, they'll see all the shows we did with you. And the ones on the FBI, seriously, they were funny. They were very funny.
Great stories.
Okay.
Well, I was having a conversation yesterday, as a matter of fact, with somebody who I've known for 30, 40 years. And he is a great espouser of gun control. Which I kind of think about as being able to aim correctly and hit what you're looking at.
Uh-huh.
But he was one of these characters of, you know, it just total reactionary, you know, and I'm going, well, you know, this is kind of weird. I mean, did you ever handle a firearm? I mean, have you handled an electric drill in your life? Oh yeah, I got one in the garage. Okay. Did you ever think of holding a piece of wood in your left hand and then trying to drill a hole in it with the drill in your right hand? Well, no, I would never do that. Well, why not? Well, because when the drill breaks through, it'll go through the palm of my hand. Oh, so in other words, you are familiar with power tools and the fact that negligence, okay, is a real problem. I said, if you will equate, you know, a nail gun for putting up wallboard in the house, or you will equate an electric drill with drilling a hole in something correctly, or a table saw or a bandsaw with a firearm, all a firearm is another power tool.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't suffer negligence very well. Oh, gee, I never thought of it that way. And I'm going, you know, look, I know how old you are. How did you get this far in life without any common sense?
I have a meme I'll send you. It's a picture of a revolver, and it says, this item identifies as a cordless hole punch. We have several different models for punching different size holes.
I love it. You know, not only that, but I try to explain to people that, you know, I have a gun store down the street, or I make it even more personal. So I've got a Glock who's sitting out here, you know, on my dresser in the bedroom, and it was there all night, and it didn't shoot anybody.
Didn't run around, commit any crimes by itself?
I don't understand that. You know, I mean, so you've got an entire gun store down the street here full of guns, and it's sitting there over the weekend, and nobody's gotten hurt.
So it might not be the guns.
Yeah. That's anyway.
Pathetic.
So today, I have new information.
Nice.
Since two weeks ago. And I want to be very, very careful about what I'm saying so that it cannot possibly be misunderstood. Now, while I am sitting here talking to you, I have open on my laptop the Moderna website. It is Moderna TX, ModernaTangoX-ray.com, and it will actually blow your mind when you read what's there. So this is not me necessarily being opinionated based on research. I'm reading right off the Moderna's website here. And we're going to talk about that. So let's talk about what we know and not right now what we don't know. Okay? It sounds like Donald Rumsfeld's famous statement. So item number one, can we ever stop wearing a mask? The clinical answer appears to be no. Now let me explain why. The size of the COVID-19 molecule, the virus molecule, is 0.01 nm, November mic, okay, nanomicron. Now, for all of the math people out there who are not subject to the Common Core, this means that a micron is 1,000th of a millimeter. To give some perspective, there are 25 millimeters in an inch. So therefore, one micron is about the width of two human hairs. Okay? Mm-hmm. One micron is 1,000th of a millimeter. A nanomicron is 1,000th of 1,000th of a millimeter. You with me?
Okay.
So far.
The viral molecule is 0.01 or 1/100th of 1,000th of a nanomicron, which is 1,000th of a millimeter. You cannot see the virus molecule except with an electron microscope. Okay, so if everybody took a look from 2 weeks ago of my PowerPoint, you saw in there the situation with the mask and the mosquito.
Yeah.
The problem with wearing masks is that the virus molecule, as small as that is, has got to attach itself to a host that is larger and that can be repelled by the mask, okay? Be stopped by the mask. Otherwise, it's like putting up a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. Mosquito is just going to go right through the fence.
Sure.
All right. An N95 mask is the only mask that is going to repel the virus molecule by itself, which doesn't happen. It has to be on a host. By a host, I mean that if you cough or you sneeze, what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your nose, is the host. And if you do have COVID, then the molecule then is attached to that host. So in theory, if you are wearing a cloth mask or a surgical mask, they will not stop the molecule by itself. Molecule is going to go right on through there. Okay? If there is a host, in most cases, the host can be stopped by the mask, but then you have to make sure that you clean the mask. So you cannot continue to use the same mask all day long if, in fact, you are coughing or sneezing into it, because now you're getting this buildup of host inside the mask to which there could be virus molecules attached.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Well, everybody thinks about how gross it is and how many times you've seen people's masks hanging on their rearview mirror or wadded up on their dashboard or pulled out of their pockets or, yeah, all that. We will be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Welcome back, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
We go. Okay. Continuing on.
All right. Continuing on. Let's talk about mRNA, or messenger ribonucleic acid. The vaccines, Pfizer and Moderna, are based on mRNA technology. Now, I am going to read directly from Moderna's website. Under the science of mRNA, it says mRNA medicines aren't small molecules like traditional pharmaceuticals. mRNA medicines are sets of instructions, and these instructions direct cells in the body to make proteins to prevent or fight disease. They go on to say that mRNA vaccines are biological software. They're not actually medicines. They are sets of instructions. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, and I related that to the old sheriff, you know, 200 years ago, 150 years ago, that had wanted posters in the sheriff's office. And the general population, like your cells in your body, are supposed to be on the outlook in case one of these guys on the wanted poster ever shows up in town. That's what we're talking about. That is what mRNA does. Going further on the Moderna's website, and they're right out front with this, it's actually basic human biology, okay? Every function in the human body, normal and disease-related, is carried out by one or more many proteins. So what mRNA is supposed to do is to create a spike protein, which is like the wanted poster, around your cell so that if the virus happens to penetrate your body, then the protein will recognize the virus and, in theory, get rid of it. Okay, that's kind of a simplified way of putting this. The problem here is with these vaccines, they're not really, by the medical definition of a vaccine, okay? That's a term of art, and that is what the media and everybody has decided to use, because we all know about the polio vaccine, and we know about diphtheria and whooping cough and stuff like that. If you called this mRNA by what it actually is, a piece of software for your cells in your body, I don't think you would generate enough fear in people so that they would run out and say, yeah, okay, give it to me. So when you take a look at the rest of this stuff on the Moderna platform, all of a sudden this picture begins to present itself here. Okay? They refer to their vaccine technology as an operating system. I'm reading from their website, so we're not making any of this up. This is not my opinion. It says, recognizing the broad potential of mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. That means different diseases. In our case, the program or app is our mRNA drug, unique mRNA sequence that codes for a protein. Okay? And if you look at this, you'll learn all about this. It's all right there. How the DNA relies on the mRNA making the protein, and then you read further, and it says DNA stores instructions for proteins in the nucleus of the cell. The mRNA is the software. It is a temporary set of instructions for cells to make a protein, and the mRNA is made using DNA. So if you take this information, and it's Moderna, txtangoxray.com, for God's sake, read this for yourself, okay? And then below it says, our mRNA medicines dash the software of life.
Oh, jeez.
Well, huh. Way to hide it right in plain sight.
Here it is. Here is the whole disclosure of this, okay? So the problem is it does not give anybody immunity to the virus the way antibodies are formed after you've had the virus.
Right.
It is very obvious that if you have had the virus and you have antibodies to COVID, for God's sake, don't take the vaccine. Because it's two armies that are going to wind up clashing with each other inside your body. I have several friends of mine who I thought were brighter. And I said, you guys recovered from COVID, no problem at all. I said, and then because you're part of an HMO, all right, they recommended that you get the vaccine to prevent you from ever getting COVID again, which is nonsense. Because you can get it from the vaccine, which is crazy. And they both got very sick because they had both. They had the antibodies. The antibodies are now fighting off the vaccine. Okay? So what do we know and what do we don't know? What we know is the question, will I be resistant to COVID-19? And the answer is maybe, but nobody knows. We do know that taking the vaccine will not prevent you from contracting COVID. Whereas if you've had COVID and you have the antibodies, you probably have immunity for years that is going to prevent you from actually getting COVID. So then you kind of got to weigh these two things here. Okay? Next question. Will I still be contagious to others? And the answer is yes. Even if you take the vaccine, all that does is like Zicam for a cold. It reduces the severity of the symptoms so that you probably, if you have comorbidities, you won't die from it. So if you take the vaccine and you wind up getting COVID, you can still pass that virus on to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay. So it's kind of like when Fauci was saying, well, yeah, you can get vaccinated, but you're still going to have to wear a mask and you're still going to have to socially distance. Okay. So, actually, it's hard to deal with some of this stuff. It really is. Okay. There is no difference now in the dose for children 12 to 15.
Yeah, I've been hearing that.
Adults. Okay. The dose is 0.03 of a milliliter. That's why when you take a look on TV and you see pictures of the syringes and stuff, it hardly looks like there's anything in there. The dose is 0.03 of a milliliter. A milliliter is 1/1000th of a liter. Okay? The normal bladder holds about 600 milliliters of fluid. So you're talking about not quite, okay, 1/3 of a milliliter. Not a whole lot. They have not reduced the dose for anybody, even people with comorbidities. Now, I sent you the Pfizer information. I don't know whether you got a chance to put it up on the website yet, but I sent you the Pfizer information that was used to get Pfizer's emergency use authorization. And they very clearly, on the second page, right-hand side, top paragraph, they talk about the clinical populations that were tested and the number of people tested, and it was a double-blind study. So you had half of them who were given the vaccine. You had the other half given a placebo of saline solution. They tell you in there, and they're right out in plain sight, here is the population that we tested it on. We didn't test it on people with comorbidities such as heart disease, diabetes, obesity. We only tested it on healthy people. Well, they tested it only on healthy people because they didn't want to wind up with adverse reactions. So people shouldn't just automatically go run to their doctor and get the vaccine without having this relationship between them and the doctor and their health history. It might not be indicated.
One of the things to add into that little segment of it is a lot of people have specialists, especially as you get older. You wind up with, maybe you have a cardiologist that you work with, and maybe you don't see your GP all that often. I can think of a couple of cases, actually, where someone hadn't seen their GP about this whole vaccine thing and took their, should I get it or shouldn't I advice from a specialist, which you would normally think would be fine, but they didn't know this person's entire health history and all the underlying stuff, and they ended up hospitalized after the vaccine. They were someone who shouldn't have gotten it in the first place.
Well, absolutely. Now, there are studies now that have shown that subsequent to the vaccine, within 2 to 3 months, people have come down with what's called myocarditis. It's an inflammation of the heart muscle that is related to this. Now, I researched into that because I, in fact, have a distant family member who had a massive heart attack 2 years ago and then blithely walked in and took the vaccine. And I said, Jesus, didn't you talk to your cardiologist? Well, no, it was just recommended, by the GP, that I was one of the vulnerable members of the population and that I should probably go get it. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
So, people are in such fear of catching this, and I don't understand why people are in such fear of catching something that's got a 98.9% recovery rate.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I've got to give my GP a little credit. Last time I went and saw him, he asked me if I'd got my vaccination, and I said no. He said good. He goes, go get tested and see if you have the antibodies and then we'll talk. Well,
good for him.
Yeah, I mean, so, and then I did talk to somebody last week that got the shot and has been sick in bed for like 3 days because they had the virus several months ago, but thought it'd be a good idea to get the vaccine, and now they're deathly ill. And so,
and I
don't think that happens to everybody, but why would you do that to yourself?
It's happened
why
to
would,
a lot more people than they're willing to admit.
Yeah. Why would
you start to delve into the numbers of people who've had a really severe response to the shot? It's a lot higher than they're leading people to believe. You know, the other one, too, is that the people who have had the virus, that's the thing. People who've had it shouldn't be getting the shot. The problem is a lot of people, and you know, like you were saying about the antibodies, we're not all running out getting antibody tests, but you think about how many people had a high fever a year ago in December and January. There were lots of people who wondered last year, like, I think I already had this. As you start learning about the symptoms and some of that, you're like, I might have already had it. Well, if those people are going out and getting the vaccine, they may account for a lot of these bad reactions, too.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't technically have it because they didn't test positive. But, have you read anything, Peter, about the people who tested positive who maybe didn't get sick, who got the vaccine? Is anybody looking at that?
No, to be honest with you, that only would skew all of the studies. They don't want to look at that. They don't want to look at that because it skews up what the message is. You know, if you look at this from a numbers game, we lose roughly 3.5 million people a year from the seasonal flu worldwide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have lost a little bit less than that, about 3.2 million attributed to COVID. Now, those numbers are skewed by themselves because there are people who have died with it, and then there is a very small number who have died from it. Okay? So, if you take 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and you divide that into 3 million, you come out with 0.0004. That means 4 people out of every 10,000. That is the seasonal flu number.
Uh-huh.
Now, you notice that we don't have any seasonal flu issues this year. Didn't happen. Nothing reported. Why? Because people were running around washing their hands, which they ought to do anyway, and wearing masks.
Yeah.
Gee, what does that do to the flu vaccine industry? So during flu season, if people washed their hands and wore a mask, the chances are we would completely eradicate the seasonal flu. They have now added, the CDC has now added COVID on the list of seasonal flus. Now, what does that tell you? That means that it's going to be coming around over and over and over again, and you're going to have to get a flu shot to deal with COVID every year. Now, what does that do for the pharmaceutical industry? You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, okay, to figure some of this stuff out. Now, 2 weeks ago, I told you about Dr. Peter McCullough. He was on with Tucker. Hopefully, everybody in the world has Fox Nation. There's a 45-minute interview with Tucker Carlson by Dr. Peter McCullough. He did a whole report, and I think I brought this up 2 weeks ago, on basic therapeutics. And I will acquaint this to my concierge, very expensive physician in my life for many years. I sent him this booklet, which is on your website. Okay, it's the therapeutic, the outpatient protocol. And I sent this over to my doctor, and I said, you know, on the rare case that I might test positive, are you willing to treat me under this protocol with therapeutics rather than my just sitting at home, you know, until I can't breathe, then I got to go to the hospital, then I get on a ventilator, and then I die. So he sends me back the answer. What is his answer? Well, I don't see where those drugs have actually been very effective. I recommend you just get the vaccine. I'm out looking for a new doctor.
Yeah.
If you take a look at the protocol.
Most of us have choices in that kind of thing. Peter, hang on. Well, we've got to take a quick break. No one can hear what you're saying in here because everybody's busy telling me we have to take a break. we want to return their hearing to them. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Who's to say I can't do everything, well, I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I find with them.
Until June 15th, when you can stand close to me again.
That's right. Put your arm around me.
After that, we'll have to put the police back in the, 70s where they came from? Send the police back to the 70s, darn it. All right, Peter. Sorry. Didn't mean to pop in the midst of things.
No problem. Humor is good. Okay, so let's get back to the Moderna website for a minute. In the Moderna website, and I'm reading again back on their homepage about mRNA, it says overcoming key challenges. Now think about what they're saying here. Using mRNA to create medicines is a complex undertaking and requires, notice they say medicines, not vaccine. Using mRNA to create medicines is a complex undertaking and requires overcoming novel scientific and technical challenges. We need to get the mRNA into the targeted tissue and cells while evading the immune system. Think antibodies.
Right.
Okay? If the immune system or the antibodies, if the immune system is triggered, the resultant response may limit protein production and thus limit the therapeutic benefit of mRNA medicines. So in other words, what they're basically saying here very, very nicely is that, wow, you know, if you've got antibodies, here's what's liable to happen, and you may not need the vaccine because we don't want our vaccine to go and trigger the antibodies developed by your immune system having had the virus. That's what this means.
Yep. Sure.
So they're aware. Okay. They're aware of the actual danger of it.
Of course.
Yeah.
But this is marketing.
Is there anything in there, you know, specifically related to the one other, well, besides anaphylaxis, the other big one? And I guess it is kind of part of it, is inflammation. There are a lot of people experiencing, you know, real big spikes in inflammation disorders. Some they already had, some that are new.
I'm looking inflammation. No, they don't specifically.
Is there inflammation in your information?
No, they don't specifically talk about that. They, as close as they get is what I just read to you.
Okay.
Let's see. Binding common proteins with the genesis and the instructions. Okay, these instructions. Yeah, so what this is, you know, mRNA 2.0. And I find it interesting that they in fact call it biological software and relate it to a computer operating system. So back to what we know, and what we know is that it doesn't eliminate the virus. It doesn't necessarily prevent death, because all this does, like Zicam for a cold, is reduce the symptoms and the symptom severity. It doesn't guarantee that you won't get it, because you can still get it. Wears off after 2 to 3 months. By the way, that's in here. It doesn't stop you from passing it on, because even if you get it and you have very mild symptoms, you can still give it to somebody else. And depending upon where they're at with their immune system, it's either, you know, going to be not so severe or severe. Okay? It just, and they're just absolutely open about all of this. So is Pfizer. So the other day, I'm in the drugstore, and they were jabbing people, and there was an elderly lady there, and she gets jabbed, and now you got to sit there for 10 to 15 minutes to make sure that you don't have an adverse reaction, which, of course, you can't sue anybody for. And what they did was they took the vaccine card, and the vaccine card is very carefully stapled to 2 pages of information, in this case Pfizer, and it's like it's the poop sheet that you get, you know, with medicine that you get in the drugstore.
Sure.
You get that little thing bent over the container, and it's probably, you know, a page and a half or 2 pages, and it's writing that you got to use a magnifying glass.
Yeah, but that has 25 pages of information in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so here are these 2 pages. The card for her is stapled to the 2 pages. And while she's sitting there, and I think, you know, I'm curious, did you read the 2 pages here stapled to the card? No. Why? Well, because those are disclosures. Okay, those are disclaimers. I said, let me read this first page here with you. You see where it says that this may or may not work? It may or may not be what we say it is.
Oops.
You know, and good luck. You are now part of a blind study.
A giant governmental experiment.
Exactly. This, oh, and there's some guys that on TV that keep referring this back to the experiments on blacks in Tuskegee, if you remember back in the 40s.
Yeah.
And they thought that they were being treated for syphilis or whatever it was, and in fact, that wasn't what it was at all. You know, so there's kind of a history here. So we have, I'm part of the control group. I think you guys are part of the control group. There's 150 million people in the United States who either have had it, had the virus, have built up antibodies, or aren't going to take it, and probably at this point have herd immunity anyway. And then you have the other half that ran like hell to go get vaccinated without really doing any research, without asking their private doctor if they have one. I've seen a lot of issues here with people who belong to major HMOs, all right, and I would not like to name them specifically, but I think you probably know who I'm talking about. And they go in there, and it's just a recommendation. And they take the vaccine. And then when I start to research into the vaccine, the fact that it's free under the emergency use authorization, they can't charge you as the patient for taking it. But on the other hand, they can't get paid by the government, okay, unless they put you in the national database showing that, in fact, you took it. Now, you can opt out of being put into the database, but you better put the card you get in a safe. Because if you ever lose the card and you maintain that you've been vaccinated, there is absolutely no test down the road that is going to validate that. So if you took the vaccine and there's no record of it, you can't prove you ever had it.
Great.
So, yeah, I mean, these are head-scratchers. You know, and but people, you know, they're terrified. Oh, my God, you know, all these people who died in the nursing homes and everything else. Yes, but there's a reason that that happened. Now you go back to Peter McCulloch, Dr. McCulloch, and everybody now from the new organization, the American Physicians Association, which is totally antithetical to the American Medical Association, which has become a complete political,
yeah,
you know, entity for the pharmaceutical companies. You go to the American Physicians Association and you read the outpatient protocol, which, by the way, they used on Donald Trump. Trump was immediately, when he tested positive in the White House, he was taken to Bethesda, and he was given therapeutics 3 days later. The man walked out of there. No ventilator, slight fever. The whole protocol from all of these doctors who have treated COVID patients are on your website right now under the protocol and the outpatient down below there in PDF format. Take that, copy it, send it to your doctor, and ask the doctor specifically, God forbid I wind up testing positive, are you willing to treat me in accordance with that protocol? And then see what they say. And if not, then I recommend you find another doctor.
Yeah, see, because that's the thing. Yeah, this is a good reason to really find out where your doctor stands on things.
Precisely. And they have been scared to death by the AMA. My doctor specifically, when I asked him for a prescription, just for the heck of it, for some hydroxychloroquine, and he said, no, he says, I'll lose my license if I prescribe that for you. And I said, no, you're not familiar with the law.
Yeah.
I said, you as a board-certified physician can prescribe horse poop for me if you think it's going to help me as a patient. And I sent him a copy of the law, and I never got a response.
You know, it's funny. I'll have to ask my doctor, not about the horse poop, but the other part. We've got to take a really quick break here for the news. We're going to find out what's going on in the news and the world, and we'll be right back with our guest, Peter Friedman. You're listening to We the People. Join us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Or face the fact, the crackerbox bothers me. You have no other choice than to deport you.